Father God, we thank you so much for the word today and for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in. Move in any shape, fashion that you desire. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. As I yield myself as a vessel, I pray that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that I'll be an oracle of God. Open the ears and the eyes that we might see, Father. Help us to receive that which the Spirit would teach today. In Jesus' name, all in agreement with that prayer, say, amen. Amen. Well, we're on part two of praying with power. You can pray and not get results when you're praying incorrectly. You're praying without power. Or you can pray with the power of the Holy Ghost. You can pray with the power of correct action. You can pray in the proper way. Now, we notice that many people at some time in their Christian walk have come to a point where they're like, wow, is prayer really answered? Man, I pray, but it's not always been answered. What's going on? Sometimes my prayers are answered. Sometimes my prayers are not answered. That's not the way it's supposed to be, saints. Anytime we approach the throne of God, we're supposed to be able to receive grace to help in our time of need, anytime and every time. But it doesn't happen because of our part, not because of God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus' part. It's our part. It's always on man, not on God. So when we make our adjustment through knowledge and through faith, which is acting on what we've learned, when we act the way God set it up, he always, for everybody, does what he said he would do, because God is not a man that should lie. He will never leave you nor forsake you at any time ever. But yet we sometimes feel forsaken. We feel abandoned. But those feelings are on our part. Any church that would tell you it's on God's part and God's against you is lying. God is always in favor of you. But I'm not going to tell you to lie that you don't have to meet the condition. There are so many things in the Bible that says God will do such and such, and it says if, and many preachers don't teach the condition or the requirement to receive. God has never failed anybody. He's never not wanted to answer a prayer if it was correct. He's never not answered if it was correct and presented in the right way. So if we want to answer prayer, we just need to figure out how we need to do it. So let's look at our text first in Hebrews 4:16. And it says the Bible is stating to us to do this. Let us therefore come boldly. Say boldly. Boldly. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, which is God's throne. Let us come boldly. Boldly is a way that we should come as an adverb. You come is the verb, and boldly is the way in which you come. God, please, Lord, if you can see your way, can you help me? That's not boldly. It tells us, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In the Good News translation, it says, let us have confidence. Let us have confidence. So we need to have boldness and we need to have confidence in prayer. So the things that we're going to talk about in this series and that we've been talking about is about you developing and having boldness and you having confidence, because the Bible says that's the way you come to God. This is the Lord saying, if you come to me, this is the manner you have to come to me. If he's God and you're not, you have to do it the way God said do it. And so many people say, well, you know, I'm just going to come to God. However, God, you know, That's why your prayers aren't answered all the time, because sometimes you're coming amiss or in an incorrect manner or attitude. And you need to be writing down and taking notes on these points we cover, and you need to get in faith and take action. If you want to answer prayer consistently and continually, you're going to have to do these things and make sure you're approaching God in the way he says to approach him. So let's review quickly the first point. Part one was the power of a clean heart. Now, we're not talking about natural powers. We're not talking about the position you pray in, you stand in. We're talking about spiritual things and the condition of your heart. Your heart is your spirit. For with the heart, man believes God. For with the heart, man believes. With the heart, flow the issues of life. With the heart, that is a spiritual condition, a spiritual thing. You need to come to God with a clean heart, because we learn in 1 John 3:21, if our hearts condemn us not, then we can have, what's that word? Confidence. Boldness, assurance towards God, if our heart doesn't condemn us. Because if I know what the word says and I've done everything evil, I ain't paid God no attention. Now, boop, listen to the devil. I'm in the devil's territory. The devil's got me in positional lack. Now I need God. It's hard for me to come to God boldly when I'm like, God, I'm the prodigal child. No, you want to come? Can I just eat what the pigs eat? Well, your daddy's not trying to get you what the pigs eat, but he couldn't come boldly. Now, he stepped over that extra edge for it, just like God would do if you're repenting of your sin. But if you're coming to God and you just turn your back on God and you're just doing things over and over and you're just totally against God, then all of a sudden, sometimes you don't have the relationship. Because the father would not have been unjust to say, son, no. He wouldn't have been unjust. He took his money, he squandered it, threw away. He deserved that. God just gave him mercy. But he came with an attitude. I'm not coming demanding sonship rights. I'm not doing any of that. I messed it up. He had an attitude that was proper. Now, your heart needs to be clean. That guy had what was called a contrite heart. He said, look, I'm out here. World ain't work for me. Maybe my servants at my dad's house, he better. He didn't come proud. He didn't come arrogant. He came humble. His father had mercy and grace on him. Now, do we come to God? Now, boldly, don't mistake boldly. The man knew I'm going to my father's house. So he walked up the thing. But those are two different lines we're drawing there. Your attitude and how you come. He came boldly. He didn't sneak in at night through the back door and just pop up and be there in the morning. He came boldly right down the road. The father was like, who is that? That looks like my son. My son that was lost and now he's found. And he thought of his son and rejoiced and did all that. But the son came right down the middle of the road there. He didn't sneak in the back door and just pop up and be in bed overnight. He came boldly. He came humble, but he came bold. Didn't sneak in. He came bold. In the throne room of God, you come bold. But you can't be bold if your heart is condemning you. It's hard to ask when your heart is not clean. Because you feel guilty because you probably are. I've never come to God feeling guilty once when I didn't have something to feel guilty for. You know what I'm saying? I felt guilty because I was guilty. All of a sudden, Satan's like, how dare you go up there to God talking about some Abba Father. You know he told you that and you ain't paid no attention. How dare you know he told you that? My heart wasn't clean. Get yourself right with God, then come boldly. Don't be walking around out of fellowship with God and then going to come asking. Get yourself right with God. Even when you come to the communion table, they say, so let a man examine himself. Because many who didn't examine themselves, they sleep or die prematurely because of it. Not discerning properly the Lord's body. Not understanding. There's a way you approach royalty. There's a way you approach God. There's an attitude. So let's take a look at the second point, the power. We're talking about spiritual powers. A clean heart puts you in a spiritual condition where you're right with God and you can ask God boldly. The power of hearing and understanding the word. Yes, that's a power. That's a couple of things, but it's power. If you don't know the word, you don't listen to the word, you don't understand the word, that's a spiritual power you don't have. Because you can't use that which you do not have. And if you don't know the word, how are you going to pray the word? You end up praying stuff that's not the will of God and wondering why the prayer didn't answer. Can you see how if you pray something other than the will of God, something that's not God's will to do for you, something that God's not going to do for you, can you see how you pray an hour on top of an hour on top of an hour for it and it not coming? The mere problem might be the fact that it's not God's will and you're praying something that's not his will. You're that guy that's looking at that beautiful girl over there praying for somebody else's wife. That's not going to happen. That woman's married. The power of hearing and understanding. That has to do with, again, if I don't know the word, I can't pray the word. Because you can't pray what you don't know. One of the greatest things the enemy does to take advantage of the church is he uses and understands Corinthians. Corinthians says, be not ignorant of the enemy's devices, or he will gain an advantage over you. And Satan gains an advantage over you when you spend your time in church hooping, hollering, running, and dancing only. But if you spend all your time hooping, hollering, running, and you don't spend time teaching the word of God the way the Bible says pastors ought to be able, equipped, and should teach, if you don't have a pastor who's a teacher, who's teaching to you, that not be a call teacher, but he has to be able to teach. He has to be able to take the word of God and explain it to you in a way that is easy understood. If you don't have that, you're disadvantaged as a saint. Because you should come to church like school to learn, to grow, not just to party, but to learn and to grow. And if you come and you hear the same thing over and over, Jesus is Lord, hallelujah, God is good, amen, isn't Jesus wonderful? Yes, he is. And everybody sweat and go home, you didn't learn anything new. So therefore, you're ignorant. And when you're ignorant, the Bible says, beware. Because if you're ignorant of the enemy's devices, he will take advantage of you. And there are Christians who are sick because they're ignorant of God's diet. People are sick because they're destroyed and hurt in their marriage and lost their marriages and divorced and everything else because they're ignorant of what God says the roles of a husband and a wife are. A man and a woman. There's people who there's chaos in their family with their kids because when they were younger, they didn't know. The preacher didn't tell them, train your children up. If you beat the child with the rod, you're not killing, but you drive foolishness far from their heart. Train them up in the way they should go, not the way they should stay, so they can grow up and develop. If you're ignorant of the word of God, you can't pray right. And if you don't pray right, God's under no obligation to answer it. But I meant to pray right doesn't matter. He's God. That means we have to adjust to him, not him bending to us. You might get a little grace. You might get a little mercy, but I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't put my plan approaching the Father with grace and mercy. My plan will be right. I want to pray right because I want to answer prayer all the time. I don't want maybe I'll get a little mercy. Maybe I won't. I want to receive grace to help in the time of need every time. Because I know it's the will of the Father to do his will in my life. But I know it's the will of the Father for me to do his will in my life also. So I can come with a clean heart. So I can come. This is what the word says. God says this. He said, oh, I like this. I like it. I like it. Put me in remembrance of my word. It's not because he's forgetful. It's just he's happy and he gets joy when his children have meditated his word. When I go talk to my dad, I say, yeah, my dad used to always say, dad, you remember you used to say? He's like, yeah, you remember that? You was listening. I was listening. God loves it when you remember what he said and you want to be like him. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my daddy say. And I only do what my... Matter of fact, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Is that not the epitome of you just pleasing the Father? Just you only say what your dad said, Jesus. If they've seen you, they've seen him, Jesus. You that much like the Father. My goal is not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Look at Jesus showing out like that. Putting God out there like that. This is my Father. You seen me. You seen my Father. Because I only do what the Father does. I only say what... I mean, Jesus just showing you how to do it right there. Just putting it out there. Be like God. Skip Mike. Be like God. Just do it. Just do it. Just be like God and see what happens. You start getting God type rewards and you get God pleased. And when you go to God, you can come boldly. And when you go to God, you know his word. Because Jesus said, I listen. I go away in prayer and I listen to my Father. Then I say what he said to me in the quiet place publicly. Jesus knew the word. Not only was he the word, he also knew the will of the Father. He was the expressed will of the Father in the earth. Man, and we say we're Christians, we're Christ-like. Well, we better start being the expressed will of the Father in the earth. Because you talk about when you come to God, ooh, you talk about the boldness, confidence you have when you know that what you're praying is the will of God. You know that what you're saying is the word of God. You put it in your heart. You've been trained, instructed, and disciplined in it. Oh, my goodness. Why would God not answer your prayer? He's the one that laid on your heart that desire. Why wouldn't he answer it? But he hadn't laid no desire for somebody else's wife or all this money against God. Oh, I'm not going to share any with the church, and I'm not going to bless anybody. I'm not going to support the missionary. But God, I need money. God, give me money. Then as soon as you get the money, you forget about God. Go right down the road. God, give me money. Why is God going to keep blessing that person? Why do we keep answering that prayer? They're only going to heap it on their own lust. They're only going to go out and do something foolish with it. They're not going to think about God. Some of you leave God for a good job. Do you give God regularly of that? And a gratitude or thanks to God? God, you blessed me. Here's that. I remember I had somebody when I was going to Rhema, gave me $1,000 per se. They were praying, God, I want a good job. Give me a good job. And give me a good job also. And the person said they gave me $1,000 to go to Rhema because they had asked God to get them a good job so he can be a blessing to people. And they gave me $1,000 to go to Rhema. That's where God, you can't outgive God. That person will constantly be blessed because that person is a giver. God says, if I can get it through you, I will always get it to you. Because God has no hands on earth but your hands, and there's people out there praying, but the laborers to carry the money is few. Church may have a need, and God will bless. I know God works like that, so I said, God, we got a need. Bless one of the saints, lay someone, whatever happened, bless them. And then they bring to the church, and now the church is blessed. They got blessed in the transaction. Everybody's happy. God loves that. God loves that cheerful giver, that person that's blessed giving it. The Word says it. The Word also say how to eat. The Word say how to think. The Word say how to love your wife and your husband. The Word say how to what to do with your money. The Word says a lot. But you can't pray the Word if you don't know the Word. That affects us receiving consistently answered prayer if we're ignorant of how we should pray and what we can and cannot pray for. If I keep asking God for stuff that is not his will for me to have, I'm going to have a long history of unanswered prayer till I no longer have faith in prayer at all, because most of the time I pray, God doesn't answer. And that's what Satan wants. He wants you not be to have faith in God's supply. And you need to have faith in God's supply. That's why you need to make sure what you're praying is the will of God and the word of God. And that's where hearing the word, faith comes by hearing, and understanding come in. Approaching God with a clean heart is the first point. Praying with power. And the second point is power of hearing and understanding. Let's look at the scripture there. In Matthew 15:10, under the heading of power of hearing and understanding, let's see how important it is and what the Bible says about the why we need to hear and why we need to understand and what we can do with that and how that helps us pray with power and get our prayers answered. It says in Matthew 15:10, Jesus said, he called the multitude and he said to them, hear and understand. He didn't just say hear. He didn't say just understand. Because there's a whole lot of people forever hearing and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. But forever hearing, Pastor Cook, I heard what you said. You remember any of it? Well, you know, it's like I get busy some of the time. Well, do you take notes? You know, I don't think I need to take notes. Are you supposed to take notes in church? Only if you want to remember what you got. Only if you want to meditate the word and go over it. Now, if you got that auditory memory where it just comes back to you and you remember everything I said, that's fine. But I said other than that, you need to at least write down the part that the Holy Spirit revealed to you. If you accept that you're hearing from God and pastor's anointed and the Holy Spirit is speaking, like he said, to give gifts after Jesus ascended upon high, he gave gifts unto men, apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers, for the purpose of perfecting the saints so they'll be equipped to do the work of the ministry till we all come into unity of faith. Now, if you think what Jesus said, he gave you a ministry gift, you ought to take notes. I learned to take notes in church way back when I started Word of Faith. I never took notes once in the church I grew up in. I didn't even take a note. I didn't take a notepad. I didn't take a Bible. All those years I went to church, I didn't take one. My mother and them didn't take one. I think a few people brought the Bible once they knocked the dust off of it. But they just did. It just the church I grew up in, it just nobody told you to read the Bible. It just wasn't even expected. You know, we had a gold leaf Black Heritage Edition family Bible, and that gold leaf, you could open it and it all cracked because we never opened it. Yeah. You know, beyond the first page, we look at the color pictures of all the black people in the Bible. Other than that, we ain't look at it no more. Never looked at it. Never read it. Dad didn't sit down and read the Bible to us. Mom didn't sit down and read the Bible to us. And we went to church from the time I was born to we went to Africa. Then we came back after a year and we started going to church again to the time I got saved at 15. I was out of church at 15 and a half. And we never sat down and read the Bible. And my parents went to church all the time. Now, we'd hear the preacher read the Bible. It wasn't even in our mind that we were supposed to read the Bible. Now, I'm not saying your church was like that, but a lot of them are. A lot of them are. They don't. You go right now. You go. Now, we have the screen up. So I know a lot of you don't read your Bible here because you have the screen or you have your iPad or you look at it there. But back in the 80s, we always had our Bibles. We had them all the time. If I'm hearing from God, I'm expecting to hear and to understand. Then I can hear without my Bible and without a notepad. But to understand, I need to meditate the word day and night so I can do according to all that's within it. And if I heard it and forgot it, I can't meditate it. If I didn't take the note down so I can go rehearse the scripture, in one ear, out the next ear, forever hearing, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth, never getting understanding, but just hearing. Amen. Glory to God. That's good, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Oh, the word is so good at Joy Faith. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know anything? Not a thing. Because you can tell by the problems people have. You're like, we taught on that just 2 months ago. Oh, I saw you in church. What were you doing? You remember it was good? Yeah. You did say something like that. I said, wasn't important enough to you to capture the revelation? I don't know. But now you need help. You better get the tape or something because I can't preach the same thing over. I ain't got the kind of time. I'll help you real quick with a few of the scriptures, but when God saw the need in advance and supplied it, but you seem to not be able to move till you feel the heat. You can't move when you see the light. I'm looking for the light. God would tell me the trap the enemy's got set 6 months to 2 years from now. God would tell me that now, so I pay attention like he's telling me something I need to know. I need to write it down. I need to meditate it. And I can sidestep the enemy's device there. Otherwise, you fight. Because, hey, I lived that life before where you fall in the trap. And you have to go back and listen to old tapes and get a hold of it and get the word out and study. And the thing is, you'd be like, he taught us about that. I just didn't pay attention. I didn't understand, but I heard. So therefore, if I need to pray now, I don't even know what to pray. Don't even know how to pray. And they taught on that. This series here, the reason I prefaced it by saying, make sure you write this down, because this is Christianity 101. This is fundamentals of prayer. You need to know how to approach the Father, because prayer is with God, is communication with God. You need to understand the etiquette there. You can't just roll up in the throne room any old kind of way you want to. You got to show respect and reverence to the royalty of our God. Otherwise, you're making yourself God, not him God. Jesus called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Don't be forever hearing and never coming to the knowledge of the truth because you don't write it down, track it, go home and meditate the word, hide in your heart that you're not sinning against God. And you meditate in your heart to illuminate your mind, and now you have understanding. Now you can even teach it. But the best thing is now you're taught it. Until you can teach it to somebody else without your Bible and your notes in front of you, you don't know it. The only word you have is the word you have hidden in your heart. You don't have the word that's in your notebook. You have the word that's hidden in your heart. Think about that. The only thing I really know is what's in my heart, that which I can bring up out of my spirit. That's all what I know. I've heard a whole lot more than that, but I only know that which I control. Because sometimes when Satan brings a need up in your life, you don't have time to go do a 10-hour study on it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you need right now. Bam, accident, your kid's in the hospital. Bam, you go in there. This kid is here. The doctor's saying it doesn't look good. They've lost a lot of blood. You got to know how to pray then. You got to know that you have commanding power. I command those capillaries and those vessels to seal up and the blood to flow. I command a miracle in that body. You got to know what to do, because sometimes your faith having authority over that child's their parent is going to outweigh anybody else's faith. You have to stand in the gap for them. You don't have time to go study. What do you pray when that happens? You got to know where you have authority so you're not standing up there saying something you can't say. Can you raise the dead? Do I have authority to raise the dead? I don't know. Should I raise the dead? I don't know. Can't do it. You got to know already, because bam, there it is right there. Accident, person next to you dead. You don't want your loved one to be gone. That's your spouse. Do you just start crying and think that's a prayer? You're crying? Or do you speak against some things? Do you stand up? Do you call heaven down on the scene? What? I don't know. Well, you need to know ahead of time. It would have been too late for Noah to build the ark when the rain started. That's revelation knowledge. Because it took him about 100 years to build that ark. And he had to build it by faith, with everybody in the village teasing him. And everybody called him stupid old crazy Noah. But Noah says, the rain is coming. Ain't no rain coming. It never rained before. We don't know what rain is. Let me explain it to you. That's when the sky opens up and the water falls down. And it comes down enough that you can't swim in it. That you're going to drown. Let you get me with this ark and get in the ark. Go get your family. Help us build. Let's get the ark. You're crazy. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the return of the Lord. People will be going to work, punching the clock, being busy, thinking work is more important than all this other stuff. Just as it was, but suddenly in an instant, he'll part the sky and bam, that's it. Too late, left behind. Or caught up to be with the Lord forever in the air, just like that. And those that get caught up will be so happy and so joyful. Those that get left behind and be like, okay, I want to go to church now. And they go to church and the preacher won't be there. And if he is, don't listen to that preacher anyway. See what I'm saying? And that ain't one to listen to anyway. All they can tell you is, I wish I could have shoulda woulda. They in the same boat you in, left behind. Everybody who you should listen to is gone. There's going to be a whole lot of people with no pastor and no evangelist, apostle, prophet, except the ones you shouldn't have listened to in the first place. Only ones there. Jesus said, hear and understand now. Jesus went on to say in Mark 4:24 in the God's Word translation, pay attention to what you're listening to. What are you listening to? You go to church and you say amen to what the pastor says, but you don't look at the notes to see if that's really in the word, or you don't look at the scripture he or she is supporting it with. They might be lying to you. They might be teaching false doctrine to you. What they're saying may not be true, but if you're trusting they got a cross on the building and they went to Bible school, don't trust that. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. We're talking about hearing the word and understanding it, not hearing what the pastor said is the word and understanding it. We're talking about hearing the word. What does thus saith the Lord God in the word about it? That's why I show the scriptures there, so I can show you why I believe it, so that you can go study and have a place to start from. But if you ever find it wrong, the Bible tells you what to do. If you see a brother taking a fault, go to that brother. The Bible tells us. The Bible is our rule of life. We do what the word says. We understand it. We know it. We obey it. It's easy. We just follow. Just follow what the word says. If you see a brother taking a fault, go to thy brother and restore such a one in faith. Beware, lest you be tempted yourself. That's why I'm be fighting and arguing with a bunch of folks. When they want to get into fighting and arguing, I just leave them alone. Let them be wrong. Let them be whatever. Ain't no use of fighting over it. But you can go and present it to the person. They might get you angry, but don't get to sinning. If that is, if you do that, you're messed up. That's why I say don't be arguing, folks. Once they don't want to learn it, they don't want to hear it, just don't do it in front of them, but just kick your feet off and walk away. They might get unnecessarily upset when you kick the dust off your feet in their face. I'll be talking to Jonathan about something. If Jonathan wasn't paying attention, I'd do it like that. He might hit me in the back of the head or something. What's going on with you, bro? So I ain't trying to have all that going on. Just kick the dust off your feet and go on. Because the thing is, they got a right to believe false doctrine if they want to. You tried to share the light with them, but it hurt their eyes. They don't want to see it. They want to hang on to their false doctrine. Let them have it by themselves. But if somebody does want to hear, you go ahead and talk to that person. Jesus said, if they receive you, then you remain there. Stay in that house, take up a abode with them, and let your blessing, your grace, and your mercy come upon that household. But if they don't receive you, kick the dust off your feet. Don't be getting warm with folks over this stuff. Let them believe what they want to. They have a right to go to hell if they want to. Who are you to take it away? If somebody don't want to believe what you say, you share with them. Don't just dismiss them real quick. Try and share with them. Come let us reason together. But once it gets to arguing and all that, just walk away. Just walk away. Change the subject. But yet, when you hear, make sure you pay attention to what you're listening to. That didn't just say pay attention. Pay attention to what you're listening to. Am I listening to truth right here? Okay, I'm on YouTube. That don't seem right. They just said something to match scripture. You better pay attention to what you listen to, because faith come by hearing. You better change channel. That's wrong. I don't want to hear any more of that, because faith come by hearing, even hearing the wrong thing, and build faith. It's important you hear what's right. How you know what's right or wrong is because you've heard the words, you've understood it, so now you have a judge. You train your human spirit to be a filter for truth. Some people can say things to me I hadn't studied before, and my spirit is a filter because it knows the word, and I'll say, that's not right. That's the wrong spirit. It's not right. That's like when you're familiar with the word and familiar with God, you know things. I always say I'm familiar with my wife. We've been together for 32 years this summer, married, and 5 years before that, so it'd be 37 years. More than half my life I've been with her. And literally, if somebody said, hey, you know, I was out here and I saw Miss Cook and I was in Burdine's with her, your wife shoplifted. I'd be like, no, she didn't. I wouldn't be like, did she get some good? No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, no, she didn't, because my wife is she's the good girl. You know, me, you got to watch me a little bit. I don't know about all that. She keeps me straight. She keeps me straight. But she's honest and pure. God bless me, because I need somebody to watch over me. You know, I said, no, there's no way. My wife would never, ever do anything like that. Not by accident, not by no kind of way. Why can I be so sure? Why can I be so confident? Why can I have so much assurance? How can I have so much faith in her? Why can I be so certain? Because I know her. What about approaching God because you understood the word, heard it, and you know him like that? I know God wants to give me this. I know God wants to bless me. I know God wants to be my need. That's called faith when you have assurance to that degree. I have faith in my wife. If somebody says she was cheating on me, I say, no, she wasn't. Because we don't do that stuff. I don't do that to her. She has faith in me. And do that to that. It's not going to happen. I would tell her. I told her. I said, if you ever don't want to be with me, just let me know. You ain't got to cheat on me. I'm going to be with you. You're free to go. You know, I said, ain't no use none of that other mess. And I just said that the first year we got married. I never said, never talk about it again. But we ain't got to be hurting each other. She wouldn't do that. And I wouldn't do that to her. I don't care who the woman is, how fine she thinks she is. If you don't respect the ring I'm wearing on this finger and you trying to step to me, I'm going to start getting illusions of garden equipment when you come around. Not the rake, not the shovel, not the spade, not the mattocks, the other garden equipment. That's all I'm going to think of. I don't care how fine she is, how cute she is. That's all I'm going to think. It's like, you are a whoremonger. with minus the monger part a little bit. But you are a whoremonger. That's what the Bible says. You don't respect no man or woman. Why would you marry somebody that doesn't respect the ring you're wearing? Do you think they respect marriage? You think they're going to respect your ring when they give you one, you get them one, you think they'll respect that? They don't respect the one that somebody else gave you. Anybody step into a married person is a whore and a whoremonger. That's it. Ain't call no names, look straight ahead. If that is you, change. You do not be looking at other married folk that is whoring around. You have a God who gives you rules. You have a person you're married to. We almost divorced. Almost is not there. You know how many folks from hell talk about almost made it to heaven? Still in hell. Okay, almost is not there. I think they say that only counts in horseshoes and grenades. Almost, other than that, it never counts. Jesus said, pay attention to what you're listening to. Mark 4:23 in the New Testament expanded translation says, keep ever a watchful eye on what you're hearing. Why? Do I ever turn on Christian radio and just listen to it? Never. Because there's poison on there. So if I turn it on, I'm still always with my antenna up. And when I hear some preacher going down the road, beep, 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 I'm like, oop, change channel. Because let me listen, make sure I understood what he said. Yeah, that is what he said. And I have scripture in my heart that is not right. I don't want to hear that. Turn it off. I don't even want faith coming from it. Now, I'm not talking about you hear something you don't like or something you had heard. So you turn off. How are you going to grow? If I say something that you don't know and you don't listen, the Bible says wise and I answer matter till you heard the matter. So I let them talk. I don't say, oh, that's not what they teach at our church and just turn it off. That might be revelation God's trying to get to me. But once I hear they're saying something that's totally against scripture, I don't need to hear the rest of the argument because you're already wrong because that statement you made is against scripture. That statement, I clearly understood what you said. Not, well, I never heard that before. Let me turn it off as false doctrine. It might be truth. You might have false doctrine. So I don't have a problem hearing. The Bible didn't say don't hear. The Bible says take heed how you hear. So I will hear the argument and I will consider the argument. Then I will turn off. But once I see their premise is wrong, they're arguing from a scripture that's totally wrong. I turn it off and don't need to hear anymore because your premise is wrong. You're starting out. You may make it make sense, but it's wrong because that right there is wrong. That's false doctrine. I don't care what doctrine you build on top of false doctrine. If it's sinking sand, the house that you build on is going to fall. And if that scripture you're standing on with, if you start off opening the text with a scripture and then you explain the text and you explain it wrong, I don't need to hear the rest of the message because you already come from wrong point. But I'm not one who just turns somebody off because they're another denomination or another belief. There's things I believe that were wrong that I've learned were right now because I listened to people say things I didn't formerly believe. But I listened to their argument and they were scripture right and I was taught wrong in the past. So I just changed. But Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Let's look at the next slide there. It's Mark 4:23-24. Let's go back one verse and add 24. But let's read in the Amplified because it amplifies it. It brings it out. And look at what Jesus said there in Mark 23:24. If any man has ears to hear, how many people here got ears? Okay, if you don't raise your hand, I assume you didn't hear me, so you don't have any ears. But most of you look like you have ears. If any man has ears, so that's you, man or woman, gender neutral. If you got ears, he gave you ears to hear. So he's saying, listen, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend, which is the components of understand, to perceive it, to take it in and to comprehend it, to understand it. If any person in this room has ears, let that person be listening and let that person perceive and comprehend. Jesus said, hear and understand. Not just hear. There are people hear, but they never receive because they don't mix it with faith and they don't understand it to get into action and do it because faith brings the results, not the hearing. The hearing can bring faith, but the hearing doesn't bring the results. It's a part of getting the results. That's why they said hear and understand. Not don't hear and not hear and don't understand. Hear and understand. This is broken out and amplified real clear. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening. Let him perceive and comprehend. Verse 24, Jesus said to them, be careful what you are hearing. This is not even how you hear. This is be careful what you're hearing. Man, that doesn't match the word. Not doesn't match my familiarity. Doesn't match my denomination of truth. Doesn't match what I thought was true. Not that. It doesn't match the word. Be careful what you're hearing. Now check this out. This is good and amplified. The measure of thought and study, meditation, the degree, the amount, the intensity, the quantity, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear. Didn't say the lie you hear. The measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear. If you are literally paying attention, meditating, thinking about, and studying the real truth of God's word, then that will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. If you want revelation knowledge, you have to study to show yourself approved. And to the measure that you think about it, not Pastor Cook said it. Oh, you thought about it for a minute, didn't write it down, so you didn't go home in a quieter environment where you can take out your Bible and assure that what I said is true and meditate it. I said it, I talked so fast, it went through, you went on to the next thing I said, but you never took time to think, to meditate. First of all, when you don't meditate, it's not going to get in your heart. Because the process of hiding the word in your heart so that you'll stop sinning or stop living wrong or making bad decisions or praying for things you shouldn't pray for, the process that gets rid of that is called meditation, to mutter to oneself, to think upon. You learn a poem. I think that I should never see a poem as lovely as a tree who lifts its leafy arms to pray, a tree who may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, a poem by Joyce Kilmer that we had learned like the fourth grade, which I had to learn it. Why did I learn it? How did I learn it? I didn't just read it once and learn it. I had to say, I think that I should never. What is I'm thinking I should see? What is it? I think that, oh, a tree. Yeah, I think that I should never see. Okay, I got to go back. Okay, I think that I should never see. And then I had to keep going back and go back. I had to meditate it. I had to mutter. I didn't get a dictionary out and study it, but I had to meditate it. I had to mutter it. I had to recite it to myself. Man, I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the storehouse, blessed in the field. I had to meditate. I had to mutter it. I had to say it over. You heard me say it once, then I went to something else. Didn't even write a note down. When did you ever think about it? Because the truth is that Jesus said the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear would be the measure of knowledge, the measure of virtue that's going to come back to you. Your revelation knowledge doesn't come from having heard. Your revelation knowledge comes when you understand. And the difference or the bridge between the hearing and the understanding is the study and the meditation. It's the thought. That's why Satan will make sure you hear and be forever learning, but never come into a knowledge, because he won't say, go home and meditate. He's going to say the TV is calling you. That very time you say, I'm going to go home and do this, something's going to happen. Well, I'm going to go to church and meditate and study the word and learn more. Oh, got to go to work now. You got to start working. Oh, I got to do that. Got school, got all that. And poor old God's first place becomes first place with a question mark in front of it. Are we listening? Are we perceiving and understanding when we hear the word? When Jesus is putting the Father in the preeminent position, when Jesus puts no one before him, when Jesus said, whatever I want or think or my provision or anything, what comes first is God. That's Christ-like, to be like Christ. Do we hear and not understand? Jesus said, hear and understand. The measure of thought and study that you give is going to affect whether you understand or not, though, because your knowledge is going to be a product of what you heard and meditated to hide in your heart, that we would not sin against God. So I've been saying for 20 years I would never go to a church that didn't challenge me, because I know I'm not perfect yet. And I visited churches. I had such a wonderful time. It was so great. Everything was so perfect, so wonderful, but I wasn't challenged. And they were preaching the word, but not anything about live right. They were preaching the word. That's the danger. People will go to churches that tell them only what they want to hear. But when you tell somebody only what they want to hear, you never tell them what they need to hear. And what I need to hear is far more important than I want to hear. We might need to wake up because the time is closing and we need to be more serious about God and our commitment to Him and us being dead to ourselves. Because some churches aren't teaching that and people are very much alive to the flesh, and that's going to cost them if Jesus comes back, and they're going to wish they'd have gone somewhere where they heard the word that they needed to hear, not just what they wanted to hear. We're going to go ahead and close in prayer. I'm not finished, but we'll pick back up next week with this same point, power prayer. But you can see the power of having a clean heart, and you begin to see the power of understanding. And next week, we'll evolve it a little bit more into understanding that if you don't know it, you can't pray it. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the word today, and we thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you move on every person here today, Lord. If there's anybody who's never received you.